Please turn your Bibles to Isaiah 41:21. Today is our New Year's Eve. Tomorrow is going to be the first day of 2024, New Year's Day 2024. Closing out 2023, and this has been a crazy year, and everybody is saying, Christians, non-Christians, everybody is saying 2024 is going to be a crazy year. And the Bible doesn't say 2024 is going to be a crazy year. But it does say that as we get closer and closer and closer to the last days, that it's going to become perilous times. It says that perilous times are coming in the last days. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasures, rather than lovers of God, hating and despising those who do good, traitors, high-minded. And we're seeing, so that's a prophecy from the Bible that says that's going to be typified in the last days. Are we seeing that happening? Yeah, we've always seen selfishness, treasonous, haters of those that do good. We've seen that through all of history. But it's really ramping up. And so today we decided to break into a New Year's prophecy update, and then next week we'll go back to our study through the book of Exodus. But I wanted to emphasize, first of all, here's where we're going. I want to emphasize that the God of the Bible is the true God. And the way he says he's the true God and proves it to us, because, there's a deception. There's a Satan who's trying to deceive us away from believing in the true God. Because the true God is the one that so loved us, he sent Jesus, as we covered last week at Christmas service, so that we could be saved from sin. So Satan wants everybody in hell with him, and he wants to keep us from loving God, and so God is trying to reach out to us. But how does God get to us? How does he tell us that he's the true God compared to all the gods that people worship in the world today? Some worship the Buddha God. Some worship reincarnation. Some worship all these things. And so what is it that God can do to separate himself through all the chatter, through all the noise, to say, I'm the true God? And he tells us why he does it. He does it with prophecy. He has made it clear that Satan cannot have any of his minions and possessed people be prophetically accurate. There's lots of people that do prophecy in the occultic world. I used to follow Edgar Cayce, reincarnation, Gene Dixon, when I was being deceived in the reincarnation world when I was a kid. And they would always make their predictions. This is what's going to happen. You look at in December and it's all messed up. They didn't do a very good job. And God's word says he doesn't let anybody else have prophecy. They can guess, and sometimes they can get it right. God doesn't ever guess, and he always gets it right. He's already seen it. He says, I'm the only one. And one of the other ways that I'm the only God is I have a witness people. All those idols that you worship, where are your witness people? The idols don't have witness people. What's God's witness people? The Jews. And for a while, he's always made it so the Jews are a witness people. Paul says in Romans 9-11 that they're a little bit sidelined right now. They're benched. But they're not fired. And they're getting ready to come back as the witness people. And so this is the most prophetic thing that I want to emphasize today instead of all the other global government and everything else that we covered last year, is that we're watching the establishment of the Jewish people as the last day's witness people. We're watching it in these wars against the Jews. And God makes it perfectly clear. He's bringing them back. He's taking them off the bench. He's going to bench the church and rapture the church. And he's going to let the Jews be the witness people. So if we're seeing these developments of the Jews reviving, Jews turning back to God, Jews winning wars miraculously, etc., then we're seeing God's hand saying, I'm putting my Jews back in Zion. I'm going to keep them here. I'm going to use them as a witness people. And there's a lot of professing Christians and even evangelical Christians that are looking at the whole Jewish problem going on now with the Middle East war in a totally unbiblical way. And we're going to try and look at it in a biblical way today by using God's word. So that's kind of where we're going to be going and then looking at some of the things that are going on. So Isaiah 41:21, present your case. Present your case, you Jews. He's actually rebuking the Jews for worshiping idols. And okay, so you guys got idols. So here, present your case, says the Lord. Bring forth your strong reason, says the king of Jacob, king of Israel. Let them, the idols, bring forth and show us what will happen. Let them show the former things, what they were, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare to us things to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that you are gods. Yes, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and see it together. Turn to Isaiah 43:9. So God is saying right there, there's no, if these idol gods are really gods, you Jews are being deceived by Satan to worship idols. Americans are deceived into worshiping idols that aren't necessarily made out of stone and wood, but all of these other things that people put their trust in. Okay, you're putting your trust in some guru, some YouTube guy, some exercise guy, some guy on how to be spiritual. Let them tell you what the end is going to be accurately. Let them give you prophecy. Let them tell you exactly how I created the world. Let them tell all these things if they're really gods, because everybody wants to worship something but the true God. We want to worship the true God, but the world is being deceived away from this true God. They've never prophesied. These idols never prophesied the future. If they're really God, let them act like it. So, verse 43:9, let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them, who among the idols of the nations around the nation of Israel that all had their idols and would then infiltrate their idols into Israel, can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring out their witnesses. A true God should have some way of witnessing to the world of who they are. We've been covering the book of Exodus for weeks before we broke away for Christmas and New Year's services. Does God have a witness? Was it a witness to cause 10 plagues to come upon the Egyptians and destroy a whole nation because his witness people were not being let go by Pharaoh? Was that a witness? Parting the Red Sea, was that a witness? Making manna come down from heaven. And so what God is really saying is, you Jews, you are my witness. You're worshiping idols of nations. Where's their witness? What idol, what religious system has a witness to testify to the fact that there's a God in heaven above that's a creator of the universe and can open and part Red Sea? And if there isn't any, why go after them? Why are you going after other idols? Let them bring out their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it's the truth. What my witnesses happened, I told them I was going to get them out of Egypt and it came true. What witnesses are that it actually comes true? You, the Jews, are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God form, nor shall there be after me. It makes sense that if there is a creator of the universe, there's just one, right? That was before all time, created the universe. And our minds, well, who was before God? Who created God? We live in a time warp, and you know what? In the beginning, there was God. And he created the heavens and the earth. And all we have to do is look out and just pay attention. And out there is proof that there was a creator God, all-powerful, all-knowing creator God. And we're supposed to worship him. And he's told us that this is his word. He gave it to us. And he's given us the history with his witness people that we absolutely can know he is the true God, that there's no other. He doesn't get replaced by somebody. He doesn't retire. He's it. And we should be worshiping him with all of our fervor in our life forever. There's not going to be another God. Before me there was no God, nor shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. Now last week we covered Jesus. What did God tell Joseph to name the son of Mary while the angel is saying, hey, don't worry that Mary's pregnant, even though she's supposed to have been a virgin, because she is still a virgin. You shall call his name what? Jesus, Yeshua in the Hebrew. Why? Because he will save people from their sins. And now we have the God of the Bible say, there is no Savior but me. What does that make Jesus? It makes Jesus God. So let that sink in again. God so loved the world that he sent himself, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all together as one God. And they had a plan to save us. They sent Jesus. And Jesus is basically saying here, I am Lord, and besides me, there's no Savior. I'm going to come and save the world. I'm going to save you. I have declared and saved. I have proclaimed. and there was no foreign god among you. While I was delivering you out of Egypt and everything, it wasn't because you were having some Egyptian god in your pocket that was helping me. I alone was saving you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God. Indeed, before the day was, I am here, and there is no one who can deliver out of my hand. I work, and who will reverse it? Well, there's a whole lot of people trying to reverse it right now. The Yemenites, the Hamas, Hezbollah, Russia, every nation that wants to see the Jews exterminated is trying to undo what God has decided, and he has decided and made it clear in his Bible that the Jews are his witness people. And so everybody that tries to destroy the Jewish people is trying to undo, and the God of the Bible is going to show his power on behalf of his witness people. It goes, yeah, give it your best shot, because you know what? When you don't do it, what is it doing? It's testifying that the Israelites, the Jews, have a God, and that the God that they have is the true God. And it says in Psalm 83, at the end of Psalm 83, after all the nations that are surrounding Israel say, let's just go pounce on Israel and take what's theirs. Take their land. Take their land. Make it so Israel doesn't exist again. It says at the end of the coming war, and see, this is a prophetic, the Bible prophesies this war is coming. We're not going to get into it, but there'll be links at the website, at our website, calvarypo.org. This study will be under topical archive studies, and on the page there will be links to the Psalm 83 war, the Isaiah 17 war, the Ezekiel 38-39 war, and the timing of that. We'll all be there to listen. It takes 3 hours to get through all that. We're not going to do it all here. But it ends by saying the nations are going to realize that God's name alone is truly God. They're going to realize it was a miracle. And the Muslims are not going to be saying there's no God but Allah, Muhammad is his prophet. Because they got beat again. They got beat in 48, they got beat in 50s, they got beat in 67, they got beat in 73, they got beat in 82. And they're about to be beat in 2024. And it's going to finally wake up the world to the fact that there is a God of Israel. And so they're not going to reverse it. So God has established his Jews as witness people. Nobody's going to take them out of his hand. Nobody's going to take them out of his hand. Even though God knows that the Jews are going to be deceived into receiving the Antichrist as their Messiah. Kevin, don't you know they're globalists? The Jews are global. They're yoking with the globalists. I have friends of mine that are saying this. Kevin, they're yoking with the globalists. Yeah. So what? They aren't believing and trusting in God right now. Just like in the days of Isaiah and Jeremiah, the Jews were trusting in, they were trusting in Egypt, and they were trusting in Assyria at first, and trusting in human allies to defend them against their enemies. And what did they ultimately do? They realized that was a bad decision. They should have been trusting in God. What are the Jews going to do now? They're trusting in humans right now. They're trusting in America, aircraft carriers, all this other stuff. But we know from the prophetic word of God that God's going to show himself when they would have been annihilated, that God gives them miraculous delivery. And you know what happens then? They look up. They look up, but they're going to be deceived into thinking that the globalist leader is going to bring them peace and ability to build their temple again and do sacrifices. And they go, certainly this must be the Messiah. And I told a Jewish guy that's very prominent in making that happen, Gershon Solomon in Israel in 1999, I said, that'll be the anti-Messiah. You guys are going to be deceived into receiving the guy that lets you build a temple and gives you defensible borders, that you say that will be our Messiah. The Bible, your prophets, your Jewish prophets, even though the ones in the New Testament you don't read, say that that will be the anti-Messiah. That can't be the anti-Messiah. Anybody that lets us have a temple cannot be anti-Messiah. See? And see, the Bible says you're going to be deceived. Jesus prophesied, I have come in my Father's name, and me you did not accept. Another will come in his own name, and him you will accept. So Jesus prophesied they're going to believe in the Antichrist. And then I talk to people, and they're ready, they're primed to join the Antichrist. But that's what God sees. He's saying, okay, you want just a man, you get just a man. You want to trust in man, you just trust in man. Trust in a global government. So it's prophesied they're going to believe in a global government. It's prophesied they're going to go along with the deception. Isaiah says they're going to make a covenant of death with the global government. And so, but they still become his witness people, because he shows through the rest of the prophecy that deals with what happens after that. And the Antichrist double crosses them 3.5 years later. All those things are going to happen. This is, again, a prophetic emphasis. We have to look at this, at these prophecies, all of them, to understand instead of just getting tunnel vision and saying, oh, you know, they're yoking with the globalists and they're evil and wicked. Yeah, God's showing them the problems with that. He's going to show them the problems. And they're going to wake up. And the ones that survive are going to say, they're going to look on him whom they have pierced and weep and wail as they worship God. The true God, Jesus, someday. Thus says the Lord, verse 6, Isaiah 44:6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the one who redeems, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, besides me there is no God. So in the Hebrew, the first letter in the alphabet is Aleph and the last is Tav. And so if you were to just say that in Hebrew, you'd say, I'm the Aleph and the Tav, the beginning and the end. Does anybody remember anything about that in the New Testament? What does Jesus call himself in the book of Revelation? I am the Alpha and the Omega, the Greek equivalent of the first letter in the alphabet and the last letter in the alphabet. So here we have God saying that I am the first and the last, and then we have Jesus saying he's the first and last. So what does that mean? Jesus is God. Revelation 22:12, which is what I was just alluding to. This is the new heaven. Chapter 22 is the new heaven, the final condition. And by the way, since this is prophecy emphasis, this section of scripture applies to everybody in this room. It's a prophecy. You're in one of two places. You either have access to the New Jerusalem of Revelation 22, or you're outside. And it tells you right here, and behold, I, and it's Jesus we'll see, behold, I, Jesus, am coming quickly. He said that almost 2,000 years ago. Is that quick for God? Yeah, he says in another place in Peter, 1,000 years is a day, and a day is 1,000 years. So in God's big timing, which stands outside of time, you know, it's been a couple of days. A little bit longer than we were hoping, God, but, you know, could you come quickly, like right now? How many people want him to come this next year? Okay. Right now it'd be good. The only reason he hasn't is he still wants more people to get into the boat. He wants more fish in the net. That's the only reason he's waiting. He's waiting for us to minister that truth to people. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me. What is the reward? Everlasting life. To give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha. I am the Alpha and the Omega. God in the book of Isaiah, God says he's the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus is now the Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Well, what's the tree? The tree of life has been gone since chapter 3 of Genesis. You know, the tree of life was there in Genesis, so Adam and Eve, apparently, their human bodies still could take of the leaves of the tree and live forever. Whatever their decay was that was going on, they had access to the tree of life. And that gave them, it was like the fountain of youth tree. And so then when they fell into sin, God said to an angel, said, okay, you have to be a flaming sword. We have to kick Adam and Eve out of the garden, and they don't have access to the tree of life, because then they'll live forever as sinners. And so then the tree's been gone ever since then, until Jesus sets up his eternal kingdom, and we're going to have a tree of life. We're never going to die. We're going to live forever in new bodies that are not going to be like these corrupt bodies, but even then, we're going to have access to the tree of life. And right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city, that we get to go into heaven. And now, this isn't, you know, it's not work salvation here. It's not saying do his commandments and then you get to go in. And I thought we were saved by faith in Jesus. Well, what is the commandments of Jesus? When they asked Jesus in John chapter 6, verse 28, his disciples asked him in John 6, 28, they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? What do I gotta do to get into heaven? And what did Jesus say? believe on me who he has sent. Believe on him. Believe in me, because believe on him, Jesus, who he, the Father, has sent. So what is to do the works of God? He's going to reward everybody by their works. My work is I died to my own works, and I believed and trusted in Jesus as my Savior, that I could have everlasting life, that he would forgive me of my sins. I know I can't work good enough to be good enough to get into heaven because I'm so messed up because I sinned against God. And so that's doing his commandments. But then it also says in John 14, if you love me, because that's what happens. We say, God, forgive me for sinning against you. And I've rebelled against you. And I just want to receive your grace and your forgiveness. I want you to take charge in my life. And God says, oh, so you want to love me? Love God. You want to love me? Well, if you love me, then you're also going to start doing the things that I told you to do. I don't want you to live in immorality. I don't want you to cuss and swear at people and be hateful and everything else. And see, our heart changes to where we want to do that to please our God, to please our Savior. We want to do that. And so the sign of a true Christian, and Paul emphasizes this in Corinthians, don't say you're a Christian and then go extort and embezzle and commit sexual immorality and get drunk and all this other stuff, living in those things, not falling into them. If you're living in those things, you're not really there. And that's what John 14:15 says. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. I'll send the Holy Spirit into a truly born again person, and the Holy Spirit is going to write the law in their hearts. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Aren't you glad that you get to be possessed by God? Because otherwise we couldn't do it. It takes the power of God inside of us to set us free. And then it goes on to say, chapter 22, verse 15, but outside, those that don't put their trust and faith in Jesus, those who don't get filled with the Holy Spirit, those who don't love God, don't love his commandments, but outside of heaven are dogs. And that's not saying that God doesn't like dogs. And not It was to the Jews, an unbeliever was a dog. You know, they considered Gentiles dogs. They're Gentile dogs. And so it's the unbeliever. It's talking about being an unbeliever. And sorcerers, people living in the drug world, sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters, whoever loves and practices a lie. Loves and practices a lie. Are we living in a time where lies are just like out of sight, high off the map, off the, it's like put a thermometer in the world today, a lie thermometer. How sick are you? And then if you get the mercury really hot, it'll blow the top of a thermometer off in the old days. We blew the top off when we have men and women that don't know. They wake up every day with what their body is, but they want to believe they're of the other sex. And that's just that's a sign. And see, this is saying, we want to love them into, do you realize you are being deceived by the Satan who wants to destroy you? It doesn't matter what makes you think you're thinking that way. You are being deceived by Satan. And right here it says that nobody who practices a lie is going to get to heaven. And we want you to get to heaven. And you have to repent and say, I'm believing a lie. I am truly a man, or I am truly a woman. I am not the other sex just because my teacher told me I should be, or I can't know what my doctor doesn't want to give me as a birth certificate that tells me whether I am, because he wants me to figure it out when I'm 5 years old or whatever. I mean, we are prophecy. The Bible says that in the last days, people will turn away from the truth, heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. It says they'll turn away from the truth and they will believe a lie. Because they did not have a love of the truth, God will give them over to a delusion that they'll believe a lie. That's a last day's prophecy. Is that happening in our day? Absolutely. We are soon going to be seeing Jesus come back and take his church off of this planet. And we're going to see Jesus then plunging the world into a time of Jacob's trouble like the world has never seen. And we have to just embrace this truth prophetically, because you want to be on the tree of life side thing. You want to be on the tree of life part, that you have access into the kingdom of heaven. You don't want to be on the part excluded because you wanted to believe a lie. And if there's anybody here that's been deceived into believing a lie, we love you. And we're telling you this so that you can turn away and you can let the truth come inside of you, that you can give your life to Jesus and be set free from the lies of the devil that want to kill you. Back to Isaiah 44:6. And it goes on, practices lie, verse 16 of Revelation 22. I, Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Jesus is God. Back to Isaiah 44:6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, his Redeemer, Lord of hosts. I am the first, I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. And who can proclaim as I do? Then let him declare it and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming and shall come. Has God appointed the things that are coming and shall come? Yes. A third of the Bible, when it was penned by the apostles and the prophets, a third of it was prophetic at the time. A lot of it has been perfectly fulfilled. All the prophecies about the first coming of the Messiah were perfectly fulfilled in a way impossible for coincidence to cause it to happen. And now what's left, the prophecies not fulfilled, are soon to be dropping like dominoes. So let them do these things. Do not fear nor be afraid, verse 8. Have I not told you from that time and declared it? You, Israel, are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one. Turn to Luke chapter 24, verse 15. So that, have we made it a strong case in the Bible that God alone can prophesy the future accurately? And if we know that there is all these prophecies that are coming true in our day that we've alluded to a little bit, then we know that this Bible is the truth. We know that it is penned through the apostles and the prophets. God took their arms and told them what to write into the Bible, so that we would know that he alone is the true God that we should worship. Now, there was a lot of prophecies leading up to the first coming of Jesus. And some of those prophecies, the people, the disciples of Jesus, knew about. They knew that from the commandment to go and restore and rebuild Jerusalem, and we've covered this recently, from the book of Daniel, from the commandment to go and restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the coming of the Messiah would be 483 years. And they knew, wow, that's pretty soon. And then they see Jesus, oh, we found him, we got the Messiah, Jesus. But then he died. And they go, whoa. Why were they upset when he died? They should have been, if they were totally into the Word of God, they would say, oh, I'm so excited. That's a fulfillment of Isaiah 53. He was stricken and smitten on our behalf. That God put our curse of sin upon him, that he could make many justified. We're so thankful that now we're saved from sin. But they didn't want that. They wanted the conquering Messiah. They wanted the one to get rid of the Romans. And so then, because Jesus has died, and even though a couple of his disciples are on the road to Emmaus, and they hear stories, well, they're saying the tomb was empty. Wow, the tomb was empty. And some of the women were saying that they saw him. But they're still bummed, because the Jesus they wanted wasn't the Jesus that came. The one that came was the one that God wanted to save us from sin. And so Jesus meets them on the road, these two men on the road to Emmaus. So it was while they, two disciples of Jesus, conversed and reasoned. They're just crying on each other's shoulders about the death of Jesus. Conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. God kept them from recognizing him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Now, did God just really, hey, what are you guys talking about? He knew what they're talking about. He knew what they were talking about, and he beamed himself into the road, catches up to him and goes, hey, what's the problem, you guys? What you talking about? What kind of conversation with one another as you walk and are sad? Then the one whose name was Clopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happen there in these days? Where are you from? And he said to them, what things? So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping." Are we allowed to hope contrary to the Word of God? But we're not allowed to hope contrary to what God's Word says. We were hoping that we could skip all that stuff about the suffering Messiah in Psalm 22, Isaiah 53, Zechariah chapter 12, 14. We were going to skip all that and just deal with the Romans now. Let us have some freedom. Are we allowed to think that Trump is going to be our Savior in 2024? Are we allowed to think that? No. Are we allowed to think any man can be our Savior? Are we allowed to think that in the midst of a nation that can't even figure out its gender identity, that we are going to have some kind of revival and be fixed? No. And we can be just as depressed as these guys. And Jesus, we were thinking that we wouldn't need you and your second coming wouldn't be. And the days of perilous times coming, we don't like perilous times, God. That's not going to be what, we don't want that. We just want our own little plan. We were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. What he meant was get rid of the Romans. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. Did Jesus prophesy to them, "I'm going to go into Jerusalem, be betrayed into the hands of sinners, beaten, stricken, smitten, spit upon, crucified, and raised on the third day"? Did Jesus tell them that? Yes. 5 times. Sticking their fingers in their ears. No. That's not what you're going to do. We got plans. We have hopes for you, Jesus. Then he said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." We don't want to be foolish ones, right? See, we can be foolish ones. We can just not accept what the prophets have said. God has seen the history. He already knows what's going to happen. As I've said, he knows the Jews are going to be involved with the globalists. He knows that's going to happen. They're going to trust man. But we just rejoice that his witness people are here. We want to be on the side that they get preserved. Which side do you think is Satan on? Do you think Satan's on the Hamas side? Why? Because if Hamas truly were to exterminate the Jews, is what their plan was, then God didn't prophesy accurately. It'll be the first prophecy that didn't come true. And then Satan points to the world. He's a false prophet. God's a false prophet. Couldn't keep his Jews. I got rid of them. And so we want to be on the side that they stick around. And Hamas was Hamas. They're God. Allah. And they're, actually, the Quran has no prophecy. But the Shiite Muslims, the Iranian Muslims, have the Hadith, which are the oral traditions of Muhammad, where he did give prophecies. And he gave prophecies that in the last days, the 12th Imam is going to crawl out of a well and going to give victory of the Muslims against all the infidels of the world, and especially Israel. And the trees and the rocks are going to be crying out, "Hey, there's a Jew hiding behind me. Come and kill him." So our prophecy is we go out into the world and say, God loves you. Okay? He wants you to come to him. He doesn't want to destroy you. He doesn't want to murder you. He wants you to come to everlasting life. Jesus told us the things of the past. Satan was a murderer from the beginning. He's a liar. And the truth is not in him. And so what kind of God would be saying, I want you to murder everybody on the planet except the ones that follow me? Yeah? Is that Satan or is that God? It's Satan. And so this is it's a war between God and Satan. And it's really insane for professing Christians to be spouting off the satanic storyline, narrative, in what is happening in our day. I mean, this is really happening in the Middle East. And This is a war between Satan and God, and God is going to show himself strong on behalf of his people, even though many of them are going to be hurt, as we've been emphasizing in previous studies. So a year ago, I emphasized the coming global government, which I'm not going to do today, and a link to last year's study will be at our website, calvarypo.org, under topical, and then for this study, 2023 prophecy update, 2023-4. And then on that page will be the links to this study on YouTube and probably Rumble, because last year it's not on YouTube because they took it down because they didn't like me telling the truth about the coming global government. And so they censored it. We almost got booted off of YouTube. And so we might not put this whole study, and if all of a sudden this YouTube teaching stops on YouTube channel or on BCAT, then just know you can go to our website and it'll be on Rumble. The full study will be on Rumble, because we might just do things to not get a strike, because you get a strike and, you know, they can get rid of you. But I'm going to say one thing about the coming global government. And again, people are there's so much out there. Global government is almost here. They are building the infrastructure for global government. And Mercola, Take Control of Your Health, Mercola, wrote a very good article, Space, the New Frontier for the Control Grid. And this is talking about all the thousands of satellites that are being put up that are free of, you know, they have solar panels. They're free of any grid down or anything problem here on Earth. They're impervious to any rebel group that tries to take it out, because whoever owns the satellites owns the world. And the satellites are all being set up and put up there to support blockchain currency, central bank digital currency, surveillance, controlling everybody on the planet. It's being built. And as soon as it's all done, they're going to collapse the economy. They're going to destroy our ability to buy and sell with cash. And they're going to establish a central bank digital currency. And they are going to know everything that you think you want to buy. And then they'll say, oh, no, you don't need ammo. You don't need guns. You don't need this. You don't need that. You don't need that kind of food. You don't. No meat. Meat came from farting cows, so you have to eat bug meat. And all this other stuff. And so they're going to control everybody in the world. And organizations such as the World Economic Forum and many of the central banks are pushing the rollout of the globalist control grid. They call it the control grid. Space-based data centers powered by space-based solar systems will use satellites and blockchain to create a tamper-resistant, automated, and permanent ledger for space governance. And it says that as of 2023, there's 11,330 satellites orbiting space. And at the end of the decade, there will be 150,000 satellites. So, and you can watch the, you know, Starlink satellites. You know, they go up there and you can see little beads going across the sky when they drop those off. How many of you are on Starlink now? And I had to switch because I have inside intel that, you know, I used to have DSL, and people are cutting off all the copper to get the copper. They're cutting off all the towers and putting people out of DSL modem capability to the internet for weeks and months at a time. And they do it over and over and over again. And so people are getting frustrated. And so what's the solution? Go to something that's in the sky nobody can mess with. And see, that's what all this lawlessness, all this stuff that's happening, and with the ingenious inspiration of Satan, they're creating this incredible, brilliant system to control the world. Impossible, you know, the Bible prophesies that in the last days, a man and his global government of 10-nation global government is going to be able to control the buying and selling of everybody in the world. Impossible for 1900 years. It is now almost completely possible. And that's why I think God said in the very end of Revelation, after what we were reading earlier, now don't anybody take anything out of what I just told you to write, John. Don't let anybody add anything. Because if I would have been a scribe in, like, let's say 200-300 AD, wanting to make another copy of Revelation, you know, God, I don't know what happened here. I think John just must have had a bad day, because he wrote in here that you said that no one's going to be able to buy and sell on the whole planet without the okay of the Antichrist. And, you know, that's not possible, so I'm going to erase it. And God says, you erase that, I'll erase you out of the book of life. Maybe I'll keep it in. So, it's just, I mean, do we understand how incredible these prophecies are? Incredible that 1900 years ago, the prophet was being asked to write something that was impossible and could not even be conceived to ever be possible. And now it's possible. And people want to turn away from this God, especially since he's a loving God that says, let's just love one another. What about your Jews? They're not loving. Oh, yeah, they are loving. They wish they didn't have to go kill the people that are wanting to kill them. And you know what? The Gazans could right now put an end to all the killing. You know what they have to do? And we're going to give you your hostages back, and we're going to stop trying to kill you. And, you know, all nations before this is war, you know, what do? We killed a whole bunch of Japanese to keep them from killing us. And we bombed their cities. We incinerated their cities. And there was a lot of children and men and women that were incinerated along with that act to keep them from killing us. And they finally said, okay, we give up, and now we're at peace with them. And so all Hamas has to do, well, and see, Japan, why did they make peace? Because they didn't want the rest of their population to be killed. What does Hamas do when they have all their population starving in southern? And you know why they're starving? Is because no other nation wants to take Palestinians. You know why? Because they're rabid dogs. Because they're problems. King Hussein of Jordan learned that. He let the PLO come into his country, and then they set up an assassination squad to take him out at an intersection in his motorcade, and he got away barely with his life. These people are after nothing but destruction, nothing but killing. They have one mission, is to wipe out the Jews. And we don't want them here. They'll cause a problem in my country. They'll turn my country into being an assassination against the Jews. So, we're not going to get very far. The other thing, there's reports that Hamas will even shoot somebody trying to get into Egypt. Why do they want their people to continue to starve for photo ops with our national news media of how the atrocities of the Jews, with the world completely forgetting, what did Berlin look like at the end of World War II? What did Hiroshima and Nagasaki look like? What did every single war that's ever been fought by man, what does it do? It keeps on working towards the destruction of the enemy until the fighting stops because somebody surrenders. And so they shoot their own people. They shot their own people going, the Hamas guys were shooting people, kids, that were going and trying to get some of the food off of the truck because the Hamas guys want all the food for the people in the tunnels to keep fighting the Jews. Amir Sephardi, he's admitted online, he's losing it emotionally because he just sees the whole world believing in lies associated with this war. And so let's go to Jeremiah 3:12. And I want to just emphasize 3:12. We covered this in our Wednesday night study, which is so applicable to today, Jeremiah 3:12. Go and proclaim these words towards the north and say, return, backsliding Israel, says the Lord. I will not cause my anger to fall on you, for I am merciful, says the Lord. I will not remain angry forever. Only acknowledge your iniquity, that you have transgressed against the Lord your God, and have scattered your charms to alien deities under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, says the Lord. Yeah, that's what God says to us. Hey, Kevin, you know, I'm not angry with you. I'm merciful. I want to have a relationship with you. Just acknowledge that you're fighting the God of the universe. Okay, I'll do that. Get on my knees, and then he brings us in. So he told that. See, Jeremiah is prophesying to what's going to happen to the Jews. They're going to be scattered, and then they're going to come back. So in the near fulfillment, they came back after the Babylonian captivity. But this is also prophesying our day. This is prophesying the return of the Jews from the north, How many Jews came into Israel from Europe? Tons. How many from Russia? Tons. Most of the population come from the north, come from all the nations of the world, come back into the land. Return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married to you. You and I have a long-term agreement. I will take you, one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to where? Zion. Where's Zion? Israel. I'm going to bring you to Israel. What does the world hate about the Jews right now is because they're Zionists. They're Jews who think that they're supposed to come into the land of Israel. And who's telling them to do that? It's the God of the universe is saying, I'm in the last days, I'm going to bring you into Zion, and I'm going to cause you to repent when you get there. Now let's go to Ezekiel 36:1. There was two articles that came out last week, December 22nd, by the Wall Street Journal, because one of the lies that the devil is doing through the media is trying to say, having people say, we don't hate the Jews. We're not anti-Semitic. We're just anti-Zionist. We're against the fact that Jews think they're supposed to live in the land of Israel. So any Jew that doesn't want to go live in the land of Israel, we're not against them. Not true. They'd kill them too. Hitler didn't care that they weren't living in Israel. He just hates the Jews because there's a satanic deception to want to wipe out the Jews. And so Wall Street Journal says, anti-Zionism is deadlier than anti-Semitism. Wiping, because it means to wipe Israel off the map, would necessarily entail extinguishing the lives of millions of Jews. If you're against Jews living in Israel, then what are you going to do with the Jews living in Israel? Oh, no problem. We got that covered. We're going to kill them all. From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free from Jews. We're going to kill them. And then the world doesn't understand that Jews want to stop them from doing that. And the United States House passed a resolution back in December 5th, where we passed a resolution that it's a form of anti-Semitism. Anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. And most of the Democrats didn't want to vote on that. It was Republicans that forced that through. Because, you know, the charter of Republicans is that there is a biblical basis for our country. There's a biblical basis for what's going on. Ezekiel 36:1. And you, son of man, prophesy to the mountains of Israel and say, O mountain of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, because the enemy has said to you, aha, the ancient heights have become our possession. Is this being fulfilled in our day? You Jews are occupiers. No. Actually, the land was mostly desolate when the Jews started returning, because when the Jews aren't in the land of Israel, it's a desolate place, as proven by Mark Twain's book on Innocents Abroad. Mark Twain's book, Innocents Abroad. The play, there's nobody lives here. There's no trees. This place is messed up. And God finally says, okay, I'm going to get the land to flourish again. I'm going to bring my Jews back, and they're going to flourish here. But what are the people saying? Oh, no, you're occupiers. God owned the place. He moved his Jews out for 2,000 years, but the ownership didn't change. It's like if you go on a vacation and you've got a squatter in your house, and I've said this before recently when the whole war started, whose house is it? It's your house. They were squatting, and they tore out the drywall, and they messed everything up, and they're rebuilding their engines in the living room and all this other stuff, and you go, what are you doing here? And you know what the Jews said? We want to live with you anyway. It's just one condition. When I go to bed at night, don't kill me. You know, when I'm in the kitchen, don't raise your children to annihilate me. And if you want to do that, we can live together. But they didn't want to do that. They wanted to kill him. Therefore, prophesying says, thus says the Lord God, because they, Gentile God-haters, made you, land of Israel, desolate, and swallowed you up on every side, so that you became the possession of the rest of the nations, and you are taken up by the lips of talkers and slandered by the people. It's slanderous to say, you're the occupier, when actually, well, no, I'm not the occupier. The actual person that owns the property is God of the universe, who created everything, and he actually told us to move back and to take it. Therefore, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to the mountains and the hills and the rivers and the valleys and the desolate wastes and the cities that have been forsaken, which became plunder and mockery to the rest of the nations of the world. As Mark Twain, Innocents Abroad, said, therefore, thus says the Lord God, surely I have spoken in my burning jealousy against the rest of the nations and against all Edom. The Edomites are really the Palestinians, the tents of Edom, it says in Psalm 83. Who gave my land to themselves as a possession with wholehearted joy and spiteful minds in order to plunder its open country. They gave the Palestinians, the Arabs, the God-haters that follow Allah, gave the property to themselves. And the Jews, by the way, so much of Israel was so vacant because people weren't living there. And when they did move into the land, if it was owned by an Arab, they bought it from the Arabs. Therefore, prophesy concerning the land of Israel, and say to the mountains, the hills, the rivers, the valleys, thus says the Lord God, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and my fury, because you have borne the shame of the nations. Go to verse 9. For indeed I am for you, the Jews, and I will turn to you, and you shall, the land that's about to receive the Jews, and you shall be tilled and sown. The nation of Israel has exploded in the ability to produce crops that now feed a lot of Europe. At the time, they were not; the land was desolate. I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bear young. I will make you inhabited as in former times and do better for you than at your beginning. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. You're going to know when I bring you back and I cause the land to flourish. There was a Knesset member last week that stood up, and she was informing the rest of the Knesset members how the soldiers are chanting songs of the coming Messiah. They know Messiah is coming. And so she stood up in the Knesset and she said this: I want to use this opportunity to stand in the Knesset of Israel in 2023 and say with great pride, I, member of Knesset, Galit Destel Abraham, believe with complete faith in the coming of Messiah. And even if he delays, I will wait for him every day to arrive. And he will come quickly. Amen. At least one of the MKs, parliamentary people, you know, the Knesset, in attendance, echoed her amen. One. So that's a status right now. Kevin, the Israelites are pagans, you know, blah, blah. Yeah, they are right now. They're not going to be. When these wars happen, these prophetic wars happen, there's going to be great revival. Why is she doing that? She admitted she would have never done that recently. And she's seeing what's happening in the world against her Jews. She's seeing the provision of God. She's starting to get a conviction. It's going to spread. There's going to be revival back to the law of Moses. And then it's going to be, then they're going to be coming to Jesus. I'm going to read Ezekiel 36, 12 through 24. We don't have time. And I'm going to read something. I want to give you a false prophecy, okay? Putin has a right-hand man. He's considered to be one of the great intellectuals to help Putin think the way he thinks. And his name is Alexander Dugin. And he wrote last week, December 26, a big war will come to the Middle East. Maybe a bit later, but it will. Houthis, the ones in Yemen, will not stop. Ships will not enter any more Red Sea. The oil prices will go up. Iran will respond to provocations. And then here's the false prophet. Collapse of Israel is inevitable. Call it as you wish. We call it end times agenda, apocalypse. It is now, right now, or a bit later. Maybe not yet, but soon. So it's kind of fudging his time frames. But he's just saying, this is apocalyptic, what's going on all over the world. This stuff is going to go. But one thing's for sure, the Jews go away. One thing's for sure, the Jews stick around. And that's what the prophetic word of God says. And so, you know, there's other articles that will be posted to our website that are 2024 will be a year of catastrophic war in the Middle East. Totally agree. I don't know how it could stop from being all-out war this coming year. And if it does, it'll be Psalm 83, Isaiah 17, leading up to Ezekiel 38, 39. All of that is on our website. You can go listen to those studies. Another one is 2024 Black Swan event coming. How many have heard that? It's been in the news all this last week. Bad Black Swan. You know, Black Swans are rare. And so what they're saying is a Black Swan event is coming this year. A rare event that is going to be cataclysmic to the entire world. People are saying that. Why? Well, some of the people, this one was a CBS News correspondent, and used to be Fox, globalist lady. So how do they know of black swan events? You know, total collapse of the economy, grid down all everywhere, major nuclear war, whatever it is. Remember when Fauci, before the 2016 election, says, I guarantee you the next president is going to have to deal with a pandemic. He said that. Man, was he a good prophet. I mean, so... why was he able to prophesy that? Well, you know, because I got a couple labs running around, you know, hundreds of labs all over the world. We're cooking in coronaviruses everywhere, and this is get us kicked off of YouTube, but it's the truth. But this is the truth. We got a bunch of labs, and we're going to release it, and we're going to use this COVID thing to enslave the world. That's how he knew. So how do these globalists know that a black swan event is coming next year? So, in interest of time, I'll just say this. What if it does come? What if the grid goes down? What if the grocery stores dry up? What if there is nuclear war? What if all this happens before the rapture of the church? It is well with our soul, right? Because we believe all the prophets have said, and we believe the prophet Jesus who said that though you die, you don't die, because I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me will never perish. And so there's 1,000 different ways we could die. But there's one way that Jesus made for us to have everlasting life. And so whatever comes this year, and we didn't even get into the invasion of the South and all the people that are, you know, fighting age men and that are ready to be activated, as people are saying, to create civil war and destruction in this country. Maybe that's all going to come true, but it is well with my soul. We got to be at peace this coming year, because I do agree this will probably be a very amazing year coming for all these reasons. Let's pray, and then we'll close in a worship song. Father, we do thank you that, God, we can know, I mean absolutely know, that you, the God of this Bible, are the true God, the true creator of the universe, because only you tell us the end from the beginning. And the things that you've said through your prophets and apostles over the millennia, Lord, have just shown themselves to be written and authored by the true God who knows everything. And God, we grieve for those that are deceived into all these false religions and false belief systems that are damning their souls to hell. And God, we pray that you would just help us to know these truths of your word, to know that your true gospel in a way, and share it with those that are deceived in a way that they too could come to that point where they'll be given access to the kingdom of heaven and not be left outside. And God, I just pray that you would just, you know, prepare our hearts for what you know is coming this year, and keep our hearts and minds into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship God.
Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds. solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His hope is covenant, his blood. Support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before his throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Nobody's standing on the sand, right? Because things are going to shake this year, I suspect. And no prophet, but it looks like the times are coming. So if anybody is feel like you're on the sand, this is new to you, and you want to get on the rock, then come and talk to me, and we can pray together for you to get your life in, get your life saved by Jesus, confessing your sin, turning to him, and saying, God, forgive me, a sinner. And so God bless you. May the Lord bless you and use you this year to be a light in the midst of darkness to this dying world. In Jesus' name, God bless you.